Blog Talk Radio.
Fort City, the chefs are back in the building. Welcome to the round table. We got this thing all set. The table is ready to go. We got a lot of food for thought. Hopefully y'all can deal with these dishes. I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Welcome to the round table. We about to get going. Let's go.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. I'm using keeps you moving, what are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too great.
Okay. The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And I'm going to try my best, Sports City, because we got some very interesting topics. And I know we could run into heavy dialogue, so this show might run over. So I'm going to talk to the people upstairs to try and get us some more time. A little hiatus, been out of the kitchen, but we're back now. Speaking on behalf of the chef, thank you for everybody that's been downloading us, putting up some extraordinary numbers download-wise. So thank y'all. Being patient on us regardless, coming here to get y'all food for thought, however y'all doing it, whether y'all going on Twitter, whether y'all checking my big brother out, or y'all coming to the Sports City Chef pages, however y'all doing it, man, thank you on behalf of Sports City. I speak for all of the chefs that come here and participate. Let me start this one off. My big brother calling out of South Carolina, the Brooklyn Knight himself, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Mr. Knight. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, I'm good.
Okay, so they talking to him too. Please, people, you got to leave him alone, man. I got him for the next 60 minutes or more. Where y'all leave him alone, man. Y'all call in, talk to me, press one. Let me know y'all want to get in here. Now, the first thing I want to jump into, Taylor, I know, and it's in the kitchen. It's the aroma's in the air. I don't care. I'm cooking. I'm sorry. But the aroma's in the air. And we are a week away from the month of August. That's right. And I'm sorry, Chandler, talking about, well, don't take my summer away from me. This and I'm sorry. I have to. I'm a fall baby. I'm born in December, the beginning of December, not the end of December. Chandler born in the end of December. So he's a winter baby. That's the difference. We both in the same month. But anyway, let me get into it. First topic I want to jump into is a rival of yours. And Chandler, I know we sat right here in this doggone kitchen while it was going down about the Deflategate and Tom Brady. And they threw down the suspension, talking about, well, he will be missing X amount of games, so on and so forth. And I know we both spoke upon it, and I'm going to just say on behalf of what I said, and I'm going to let you say what you said, and open up the call lines as well, get people in here as best as we possibly can. I said, by the time the season starts, I don't think Brady will have any suspension. I think worst-case scenario, two games, right? But they're already starting the season off with them playing up against Pittsburgh. And I'm going to say this in the best of tone that I can, because I now respect Brady as I've grown older and watching him through his whole career, you know, college and playing football in the NFL, so on and so forth. When he was winning the Super Bowls in the early portion of the 2000s, I did not like Brady. Every girl was in love with him, so on and so forth. It's like, forget Brady. You know what I'm saying? They're not, you know, I actually respected them when they had that little perfect run going on. Of course, I'm a diehard Randy Moss fan, but you got to think almost, and I'm speaking for the demographic of being in this area of the New England tri-state area. CBS favors either the Jets in my area or the New England Patriots, where it's heavy entertainment value. They're constantly being seen on TV, so on and so forth. And knowing that that's going to be one of the games that kicks off the season, and how big an aura is around the Pittsburgh Steelers, but around the New England Patriots after they just won the Super Bowl, knowing how people are going to watch that game, I don't think it would be a heightened game if Tom Brady is removed from that game. So I'm going to say it like this. Like I said previously, I don't think he misses time. I think the NFL knows how much money they could bring and generate for having Ben and Tom go at it head-to-head. And they would miss out on money if Garoppolo was out there starting under center. And not to say that Garoppolo couldn't upset the Steelers, but I think the Steelers would definitely be in a heavy advantage going up against a quarterback that's not going up against a top-notch defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers. But knowing that they're in discussion about this, Chandler, your thoughts on the Brady situation, about the suspension, they're in discussion about it. Now that we are here in front of the doorstep of August, your thoughts on how this thing can go down, and we do have a chef here also.
Tom Brady is not going to miss one game. I said that when they first came out with the suspension. And honestly, he doesn't deserve to be suspended, because you can't blame a player for what the team has done. By the way, this isn't the first time a team was found to be messing with footballs. No player got suspended. So why is Brady suspended? You have no leg to stand on, first of all. It was a ridiculous thing to do. And you never punished the coach. You punished the player, but not the coach. One of the most controlling coaches in the history of football. He didn't know nothing about it, but the player did. It's dumb on every level. And the biggest reason he's not going to be suspended is because if he takes them to court, they'll lose. The NFL has lost every time a player's taken them to court. You think they really want to get embarrassed in court again? Tom Brady is not going to sit out one game. The only thing that's going to happen is he's going to get a fine for not cooperating with the investigators.
Okay, now we do have a chef in the building calling in from Arizona. You guys know him as Mr. Silver or Nacho in the Box. Nacho, welcome to the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, my God, it's hot. It's freaking hot, but I'm doing all right. How y'all doing?
I don't even like that word, unless it's food. If it got something to do with food, I could deal with that word. But other than that, don't say it no more. My birthday's in December. I like it cool or cold. But we got this is going around right now. Your thoughts on the real number 12 in the NFL? Your thoughts on what's potentially going to go down? And they're already in discussion about this suspension being appealed. Your thoughts and from what me and Chandler have also thrown out there as far as the roundtable.
You know, as it pertains to Brady, and I'm kind of on the side of Chandler, but I don't think it's going to go the way exactly Chandler thinks it is. I think it's going to go in the way of they will give him a one or maybe even two game suspension. I'm not with Chandler, though, on the fact that he doesn't deserve one. I think lying and withholding information, regardless if you're the only one or if you're one of 30,000 people who know information, including the whole team, the coaches, and everyone, you still withheld information. You still were not forthright in what you did or did not know from the get-go. So in that aspect, maybe a game. But I think he will appeal it, and this could be something and that could go on the full length of the season. He'll never see a day, and then like Chandler said, he'll win it. I do think that they will give him a suspension, maybe cut it in half, like I said, maybe one game. I think it's more or less not the act of deflating a football, not the act of knowing it, but lying about the fact you didn't know it and not being forthright with all the information that you had. That you were should have been able to give to Roger Goodell in the NFL. So I don't think he serves a game. I don't think he serves any time whatsoever. But I do, however, believe that they will cut the suspension down. Most likely it'll be one game, and I do think he's going to fight it. And like Chandler said, he's going to win it. He won't see a suspension, but I think the NFL is going to take a big step right now, and they're going to make it. They're going to make it one game. Possibly two, just cut it in half. But I think that's what's going to happen. Lying to the NFL is going to be something that I think they're going to start not taking lightly anymore.
Now, before Chandler answers or tries to respond to it, the interesting thing about it is, and this is where I know as it happened, including myself, I'm not going to lie, everybody in the kitchen was laughing at the matter of the Deflategate, because here's why. When the balls were supposedly without, you know, some pressure air or whatever, however, it was supposed to be at 16 PSI, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the score wasn't crazy. It wasn't like the Patriots blew them out. When the balls were actually at the correct amount of pressure was when they actually ended up extending the lead and scoring an additional 28 points. So it's like, what gain did they get from that? And I truly want to know what edge they're getting by watching a ball having less air in it. And I mean, Luck had the same situation too. Right? I mean, he had the same ball that they were playing with, and they both weren't really scoring at high numbers. And I don't know. And the one thing that I'm truly looking at before I let Chandler go is, even if they do give him that one game, which it wouldn't make sense, like let's look at it like this. The one game that they're looking at is ring night. So you mean to tell me that what? Are you going to keep him away from Gillette Stadium and not accept to see the banner go up or accept his ring, so on and so forth? I mean, Brady was the one that helped them get the championship. So I think that takes away from everybody watching that go down. I mean, I think just by that alone, knowing that the ring celebration and ceremony will be there, is why this should be swept under the bridge. And I'm actually kind of advocating this like I'm some doggone Patriot fan, and I'm not. I'm actually looking at the grand scheme of things for the NFL and how it would look, let alone the start off a season, and say, okay, we're just going to suspend him for the one game and have him come back week two after we didn't let him accept his ring in front of the home crowd, so on and so forth. That's the one thing that actually has me questioning not only the suspension of the first four games, but if he is to miss one of the bigger games of their season to start off of against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not like they're playing and not to say that I'm poo-pooing any team in the AFC, but it's not like they're playing the Cleveland Browns. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a Pittsburgh Steelers, a big rivalry game since the 2000 started off, but even before then. I'm just saying that, you know, these guys get to the AFC Championship game and facing each other here or there, and knowing how Brady and Big Ben have been going at it, I think that they have to keep that rivalry relevant. So, Chandler, anything that you'd like to respond to from what you've heard thus far from either me or Nacho?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how everybody's claiming that he lied, because the report said it was reasonable to assume that he knew. They use words like, well, it's more likely than not that he knew. It's more likely than not that Bill Belichick knew. It's more likely than not that everybody else on the team knew. You can't suspend one guy for the actions of the organization, unless that person is the head coach or the owner, because they are the organization. That is like if you work for United and they're doing insider trading and they go out to the flight line and they fire one of the mechanics because, well, we think you might have known. Okay, but so did the people who actually run this, and you said they didn't know. It doesn't make sense. And that's why, and the argument that, well, he should be suspended a game, but it'll be overturned, that argument, that's why he won't serve a game, because it doesn't make sense yet again by the NFL's own rules. By the NFL's own rules, he was supposed to get a fine. Because the last time this happened, you know what they did? They fined a player. That's what they did. So how do you go from a fine to a four-game suspension for the exact same thing? Then everybody says, oh, well, they have a track record of cheating. Again, the organization has a track record of cheating. If you are not going to punish the head coach, you cannot punish Tom Brady. You just can't. I don't care if he didn't want to give them his cell phone. By rights, he didn't have to, first of all. He didn't have to. They have no subpoena power. They have no real authority. They can ask and you can say no, which he did. So they assumed that, oh, there must have been something on it because he didn't want to give us his cell phone. You can assume all you want. You can't prove it. There's no proof. They believe he lied. I don't care if he lied. And it's not about getting an advantage on the field, Ty. The fact of the matter is the rule is there. It's the integrity of the game. That's why there's some punishment. But they punished the wrong person. And that's why that's the point. I don't see what nobody understands. They punished the wrong guy. You can't tell me that Tom Brady knew and Bill Belichick didn't. You can't. And I guarantee you this, if they had slammed Belichick, Brady probably would have taken a 2-game suspension and not said a word. But the only person who gets punished here is him. And you know doggone well that Bill Belichick knew. Come on, man.
Okay, not to anything in response toward that. We stand as it is. I mean, literally, like I'm saying, I said at worst case scenario it'll be 2 games, but I'm thinking the NFL as a whole, to look at how the season kicks off, it'll be a question mark around how they're starting it off with their biggest name in football. I'm saying it comparable to all of you Peyton Manning fans and, you know, people out there that think that there may be a bigger name in football than Tom Brady. The biggest name in the sport accepting the championship ring will be sitting out because of how things happened last season. So that's the one thing I'm thinking about. I think that more or less this thing gets rescinded and they try to move past it. But I know that more than ever that they'll probably have a referee watching the guys that are dealing with the football before the game, before they go into the bags and address the sideline, so on and so forth. I think that they're going to have to follow a different chain of command moving forward. They can't just trust these guys knowing that what was being said and text messages and so on and so forth. I think that is completely out of the window. But in looking at it from what Chandler said, every time people have actually appealed and have actually taken this to a legal situation, the player or the players association has actually won. So I don't think the NFL wants to go that far, especially dealing with one of the, if not the face of the NFL right now. That's the one thing that I'm actually with Chandler on and actually agreed upon it previous before that we got to this point. But now that we are close to August and knowing that they are in discussion about it, I think that this does get done. And by the way, guess whose birthday is at the beginning of the month of August? I'm just saying. And anything else from either of you before we get away from it?
You know, it does feel like Chandler, and it does feel like Chandler just would want Bill Belichick to be in trouble as well. You wouldn't have a big problem if Tom Brady's in trouble as long as Bill Belichick is held responsible. Am I correct to assume that? Or you don't
Absolutely.
Even see Tom Brady at all?
Absolutely, because, again, I come back to the same point. One of the things that was used against Brady, and we all noticed in the media and by the NFL, because the NFL was leaking out all kind of stuff, is there's a track record. There's a track record. Well, twice now, the organization has gotten caught cheating, and twice the head coach has stated, this is the most controlling head coach since, you know, Vince Lombardi. So how is he getting a pass? How can you say the head coach didn't know, but you're going to say the player did? And this is something that was, you know, you told me you're dealing with employees of the team, and he's getting employees of the team to break rules, and the coach doesn't know? No, if they slam Belichick along with Brady, I'd be willing to bet Brady would not have said a word. He would have taken it. But he was the one who they said, okay, you're going to fall on the sword. He said, that's not happening. It's not happening. But no, if Belichick had gotten punished as well, I wouldn't have a problem with him going after Brady. Because now you're doing the organization and the player. You can't blame just the employee.
Okay, so. Anything else before we get away from it? Because I got another controversial one that I want to get to. And this is actually, it touches my heart right here. And anything else that we have toward the Brady situation?
Just real quick, final thing for me. You know, I heard you guys both were saying that he won't get a reduced suspension. That'll obviously get overturned. He won't miss a game. My point being that, yes, somebody has already done this before. And, yes, the punishment was just a fine. But when I was growing up, my punishment got worse and worse with every second, third offense of the same problem I did. I would never learn if I kept getting the same punishment because I already know what's coming. If something different is coming next time, maybe that prevents a team from trying to break a rule, not necessarily just deflating a football, but anything else pertaining to the game. That's where I'm getting at with the NFL trying to make it to where they're going to say, you know what, a fine wasn't enough. We'll lay a suspension. It may get overturned, but you know from now on, it's not just a fine anymore. You're going to get in deeper trouble for a quote-unquote what some call a minor offense, but it has somewhat to do with the integrity of the game. So that's where I'm getting at when I say that they will uphold the suspension, or not uphold it, but at least decrease, but still give them a suspension, even though it might be overturned. Just to show the rest of the NFL, like, you know, just to show the rest of the NFL you're going to get in trouble for doing this. It's not just going to be a slap on the wrist anymore. And even if it's a minuscule thing like deflating a football.
I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Atlanta Hawks were found to have manipulated the crowd noise. Now, and that does have an impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them?
I think that was a fine, too. It was a fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a minuscule fine.
Yeah.
And this wasn't the first time for them. So, again, I understand your argument, but it flies in the face of everything else that they're doing. You had GMs calling the sidelines from the press box, which is illegal as all hell. And they acted like, we'll just give them a couple of games. They didn't even say anything to the coach. You got a deflate thing. Let's slam the player. Once again, let's go after the player and let's be hands off with the organization. That is the problem, and that's why the Players Association has such a problem. Because if you look at the track record when it comes to the NFL dealing with organizations, they kind of give them a slap on the wrist, but they want to slay players. Slay the organization? I don't have a problem with you slaying the player. You give your organization a pass, you can't slay the player.
Got it.
Yeah, we letting the dogs out in the kitchen, believe me. We cooking up some good stuff. We cooking up some good stuff. But now to a situation that actually is close to me. Like, well, not close to me personally, but, you know, me being a fan of sports in general and watching this guy do his thing and watching his entire career, and somebody that inspired me to play football being Junior Seau. Junior Seau is to be inducted into this Hall of Fame class, right? They are now telling his family that they do not have the privilege to speak on his behalf at the Hall of Fame, right? So we were in the green room, and I was discussing this with Chandler, and I said, you know, Chandler, this is actually, to me, it's worth it, I can care less how you guys feel about it, and not to say it in a rude way, but I'm going to say it like this. I feel that that's disgusting, that this guy is no longer here on earth, and he can't be spoken upon in the derivative of having any of his family members, however it been addressed. They had his daughter, Sydney, pegged to be the one that's to speak on his behalf. 15-year-old girl, right? They're saying that nobody from the Seau family could speak on his behalf. There will be a video played, and I guess there will probably be people that are speaking in the midst of that video from what I'm taking from this. And then that be that. Now, come on. Now, this man gave the NFL career from, I want to say, 88, 89, that, around that time, to about the early 2010s, like around 2008, 2009, 2010, it was when he left the game. So he gave you nearly 20 years of his life on a football field, even though this is where Chandler actually painted the picture for me, which it actually calmed me down about the situation, but I still feel a certain way about it, and it still got me a little ticked off about it. I'm not going to lie. Even though he didn't play for any team that I support or like or watch, so on and so forth, I just still feel that somebody from the Seau family could actually go up there and say the right thing and won't, you know, expose the situation. But here's the manner that Chandler put out there and made me think of it differently, was that the Seau family may go up there and potentially speak on the CTE matter, because that was supposedly the driving force of him taking his life. So, am I jumping the gun about feeling about this situation a certain way, that maybe his daughter should be the one to go out there and address this, or a player that, you know, that played with him? I don't know. Somebody should speak on Junior Seau's behalf. I think it more or less on the film, they'll probably pick players and have them do like a five-second segment and show him making plays. And so this is just me, you know, painting a picture vividly, but it may be addressed differently. But I feel like all of the players that have gone into the Hall of Fame, they've had somebody that has either coached them or driven them to a certain point, or it's been a family member. Why is Junior Seau being held to a different regard? Nacho, I'll let you set this one off first, and I'll let Chandler clean up.
You know, I read about this, and I was initially upset with the whole thing You know, she's only 15, and I understand the whole suicide, suing the NFL, all that stuff like that. I just don't get it. I mean, from what I read as well, they said they used to, because if I'm not mistaken, Reggie White's wife gave a presentation at his, so, and I believe that was in 06. So this has to be something that's relatively new that they're not letting presenters go, because I believe it was a policy that they would let presenters speak and then show a video of the deceased, and they said it was a redundant thing, that the people in the video said pretty much the same thing that the presenter said, so they took out the presenter. To me, it's dumb. Why would you take out the heart and soul of what's going on? A presenter most likely is going to be someone who knows that person in depth. You know, either is going to be an ex-player for multiple years, a family member, and they're going to, you know, give a heartfelt speech, and it's going to be some of the most heart-wrenching, I guess, thought-provoking talk about Junior Seau or any other Hall of Famer that you're probably going to hear from the presenter than any movie or highlight reel could ever possibly present. So that, to me, is not the smart way to go. If they're going to have to get rid of one because they're redundant, to me, you get rid of the highlight reel, you get rid of that video, and you keep the presenter. I'm just not really a fan of this decision. I don't get it. I don't know if they think that she's going to go up there and say negative things about the NFL, negative things about his concussions or anything like that. I wouldn't foresee anything like that happening from a 15-year-old. So I'm just not really ecstatic about this whole situation. I would much rather have her go up there, give a presentation, give a speech, than watch a highlight video of him, and albeit be maybe some ex-players, ex-coaches, and saying some heartfelt things on a highlight reel. I would much rather hear her. So I'm not impressed. I'm not happy with the decision. I'm not, gung-ho about it. I'm not so negative about it, though, that I'm up in arms. I'm just not happy with it. You have to let her talk, let her say her piece. I don't believe they have an agenda against the NFL. This is a Pro Football Hall of Fame presentation for her father, who was undoubtedly a Hall of Famer on the field. That's what it should be about, and I think that's what it was going to be about. The NFL is making it a bigger deal by not letting her speak, in my opinion. So I'm just not happy with it at all.
Okay, Chandler, off to the discussion that we had about this situation, a better aspect on how you feel about this and what do you think will possibly be done on the 8th of August when they're inducting these players into the Hall of Fame. And Junior Seau, I think, being overlooked because of the legal situation that's behind it all.
Well, that's exactly why they're doing it. Because this didn't come up until the family opted out of the wrongful death settlement that just came. Now, all of a sudden, because I remember last year, out of the people that were inducted last year, there were a couple of guys who were deceased. Somebody spoke for them. This is being done because the Seau family has been vocal about the issues with the brain trauma. They have been vocal about the fact that her father, their son, their brother, their uncle is dead because of the negligence of the National Football League. And then, and I wouldn't expect them to back down from it. And I would hope that they would go up there and talk about it because it needs to be talked about so that maybe some of these guys who are allowing teams to basically grind them up will look at their 10, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids and say, you know what, I don't want to leave you. This girl lost her father because of the sport he played, and the NFL was complicit in his death. But they don't want anybody to know that. So they're going to bully the family. We won't let you talk. It's disgraceful. There was someone, we got to protect the shield. What are you protecting? You're protecting the bottom line. You're not protecting football. Because if you really wanted to honor football and the players in that Hall of Fame, you let the family say whatever they need to say. And then you know what that would show? That would show that the NFL was saying, you know what? Things weren't being done right. And going forward, they will be. And this is an example of what we didn't do right. And we're going to own this. We're going to let the family say what they need to say. We're going to own it. And we're going to say we're going to do better. This could have been a moment that the NFL actually made themselves look good by supporting the family. Instead, same old, same old. Oh, you ain't going to tarnish our day because, you know, it's all about them dollars. You ain't going to bring the room down, man. We need people to buy all this souvenir stuff that they done came up here, you know, they came to camp. We need to get them buying stuff, man. They get sad. They may not spend money. And I'm going to say this about every guy living player is going to be up there getting inducted. If they don't address the fact that his family doesn't get to speak, they're classless, and they're a disgrace as well. Because I would expect that his brothers would have a problem with the fact that his family doesn't get to speak.
Like I said, it was something that touched me, and I definitely opened up and started talking to Chandler about it, man. And I'm not going to lie, Junior Seau was one player that inspired me, and it's more or less they're going to make him be viewed through the video that they shoot and pictures and probably glimpses from a couple of people that may have played with them, played against them from their eyes. And of course, I'm not even going to lie, 2015, you know, they're probably going to come up with some of the best video that they could put together. Of course, it's probably going to inspire people and have people probably shed a teardrop. I'm not going to say that they probably won't be motivational or have that effect on people. That's a lasting effect. But you want people that are close to this guy. Like, even how they blackball, and I'm saying that to you voters, I'm going to say how they blackball Chris Carter and held him out of the Hall of Fame for so long. He had his son come up there and speak for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's only right. It's only right to let somebody out there know him that's in attendance to not only speak on him but unveil his, his Hall of Fame buff as he enters the Hall of Fame. Like, I feel that's the rightful thing to do. But here goes the question mark on either. I don't know who they're supposed to blame to. And I'm not even ready to sit up here and point fingers and say, well, Goodell, you should do so. Well, he probably is the guy that you need to look at and see where this is spiraling downward to. But this is something that does concern me. And I feel like Junior Seau gave enough to this doggone game to be sent out in a rightful form. I mean, it's tough. And this is how I feel about it, Junior. I know you're up there in them clouds, however it is, man. But I'm hoping that they change this up because they only have, a week and a half, 2 weeks' time before they have to come up with the proper induction and making sure that video is all together and making sure the speech is right also. I feel like he should be addressed in a speech term. That's me. That's just me. If people feel different, y'all know what to do. Call and talk to me, 917-889-9592. Anything else you guys would like to say toward the Seau situation as we move on? Okay, the silence does help me. Interesting enough, we got a lot of interesting situations that are popping off this weekend, including it is a battle between me and Chandler, so y'all stay tuned to that because I will be closing out the show epically to talk junk to this dude. But we actually didn't get to the situation yesterday at the cafe. Kitchen was closed. But there's something that's swirling around in the NBA, and I want to see how you guys feel about it. But they're saying that probably in a couple years or so that they're already throwing the thought of Becky Hammon potentially being a head coach somewhere in the NBA to be the first women's head coach in the NBA. Now, she already just won the Summer League, which I'm not going to lie, and I may be rude in saying this, but I'm not being rude, or I'm not thinking I'm being rude, but I feel like that's more or less a scrimmage situation to not be held in a strong regard of the grueling season, but not to take anything away from her efforts on coaching or not having knowledge around the game. But knowing that she knows the game, knowing that they said the San Antonio's first players, all of them across that roster actually show her great respect to say that she has a great basketball mind and IQ. Do you think within a 2 to 4 year span that she could be holding down a team along one of those sidelines and having, players across the league with whichever team that she's ending up coaching respect her as a common coach in the game? Chandler, I'll let you start this one off. Your thoughts on Becky Hammon potentially being a coach in the NBA in the coming years?
I think she will be a coach. I think she's going to be the coach of the same team that she coached Summer League for. Whenever Pop decided to step down, she's going to move over into that seat. That's the team she's going to be the head coach for. That organization has always been a progressive organization, and it's the right organization for her to be in, because there's some organizations that it wouldn't work. And that's because those organizations are run by clowns. Let's be honest. Sacramento, New York Knicks, you know, there's some organizations that are run by clowns. So there's some organizations where it wouldn't work simply because the ownership and management just are clowns. So, I think she's going to be great. I mean, my personal opinion is I always thought that Pat Summitt might be the first one. And then, you know, as we all know, she's having her issues with Alzheimer's, and then she had to stop coaching. But if there was anybody else that I would have thought of, it would have been Becky Hammon. So I don't see her having any problems. Like I said, she's in the right organization. I don't think it's going to be a widespread thing, because there are still some organizations that are run like frat houses. And you need strong ownership. You need the right organizational environment to bring in somebody with, so, you know, a female coach, and not because of anything other than the fact that she needs to be supported, you know, because she's going to go through the same thing that other rookie head coaches, she's going to make mistakes. They're going to have losing streaks and all those things. And you need a strong organization. It's not going to be like, oh man, we made a mistake, let's get her out of here. No, they need to be able to stay the course. So there's some organizations that it wouldn't work with, but it'll work with San Antonio, because that's who I think she's going to be the head coach of.
Okay, Nasha, your thoughts on the possibility of Becky Hammon potentially being a coach in the NBA, and a strong consideration on him, on her actually holding down the team within the NBA. Chandler says the Spurs potentially when Pop walks away, and I'm saying within a 2 to 4 year span. I think Pop may have 5 years, and I think he just signed an extension, if I'm not mistaken. But your thoughts on Becky Hammon? I mean, she was actually successful in coaching this team to win the Las Vegas Summer League situation this summer. Knowing that she's been around the game for quite some time, she's getting great accolades from players, i.e. Tony Parker, i.e. Tim Duncan. I mean, you could just name some of those first players that have actually have championship caliber. Your thoughts on Becky Hammon if she becomes the first NBA female head coach in the coming years?
You know, the bigger thing, I do like the fact that the championship caliber players on the Spurs team all respect her and all, you know, give them their praise. My biggest one was Popovich. If Popovich is able to, just bring you under your wing and train you and teach you the ways of Popovich and do what he's allowed to do, I don't think being a woman is a big deal to me. I was just reading about how he perceives it, and he perceives it kind of like me. It's not like, you know, to me, when I hear her talked about as the first woman doing this and doing that in the NBA, I feel like with the way she was on the court and the way she's just been as a coach so far, it's kind of like, you know, it's not a big deal. So I'm enjoying it. I like it. My big thing is I think it's going to take time. I am with Chandler, though, on the Spurs. I do think this is the team she will be with her entire career. I think this is the team. We just watched her in the Summer League. I think it's more 3 to 5 years. We'll watch her in the Summer League more and more. She'll get the respect of those players, the young up-and-comers, and she'll be able to put her input on the players she likes for Popovich. And this is just the trend I see, and I'm with Chandler on it. I think it's the Spurs. I think having the summer League time, getting to know the players on a coaching level like that. I know, Ty, like you said at the beginning of this, it's not the grueling 82-game season and the playoffs and all that good stuff, but it's a test, and she passed. And she passed with flying colors. So I'm truly excited to see what she has to offer as a coach, and I do believe that the Spurs give her a chance. The thing is, I don't know, and Chandler said there are some frat houses. There are some front offices that are run as popularity contests. Greg Popovich is noted to saying this is not a gimmick. I think, I hope not, but I think one team might hire her as a gimmick. to bring butts in the seats, to see what she can do more or less on a bringing in money revenue situation before Pop steps down. I think that would be the only reason someone else would bring her in. Not because she wouldn't be worthy of it, but I think the Spurs are trying to keep her and trying to utilize her as a coach. They see what she can bring, and if you read all what Pop has said about her in an interview, you'll definitely get the feeling that molding. He's molding his apprentice, so to speak. He's making her into who he sees her as the best at, and it's working. So I'm excited for it, and I truly do enjoy it. But I do think she'll be the head coach of the Spurs when Pop steps down, like Chandler. But there are teams out there that are going to like her, but they're going to use it more as a gimmick. And I hope that doesn't happen, because she might end up on a really, really bad team. And who knows? But I just don't wish that upon her, especially to end up somewhere like Philly. Or even one of those bad down in the rut places. I don't want to see it happen to her. But with the Spurs organization, it'll be a great test. It'll be something that I think we'll be excited to see her coach some good teams.
Now, see, that's what I was waiting to hear both of you, speak on it and try to draw that situation up. Now, what if she supposedly goes to a team that's at the bottom of the barrel? Like, let me just say, for example, the Denver Nuggets that are struggling to put their thing together. And say she's not successful, do they start to panic and start to blaming on, well, these players don't respond to her, and then start pulling up, the nature of her sexual orientation, her being a female, not being able to get to these guys in tough portions of games where teams, basketball is a game of runs. And just, let's just say if a team faces, a 12-point deficit, could she get these guys back into the game? Or is it a situation where she just doesn't have the aura to inspire these guys, where these guys alone should be able to go out there and inspire themselves? They're getting paid, six to seven or eight digits alone to go out there and play this type of basketball. So, I mean, what if the stuff starts to follow her if she's not successful and she doesn't pick up a great team in the San Antonio Spurs? This is something that I'm actually concerned about for Becky, if she is given the opportunity to coach a team that isn't in a higher spectacle as the San Antonio Spurs. I'll come right back to you, Nacho, and then let Chandler clean up.
I think the only thing would be the timing. If it's too soon, who knows? If it's next year or even possibly the year after, I don't think there would be enough time, tutelage-wise, for me to be expecting of something great from her on a horrible team or a really bad team. But I think if you give her 4-5 good years under Popovich, we see her in the summer league and she's taking over, and we could see her in the regular season doing some things, then I could see her being able to go to a team that's not so good, that's pretty bad, that's down in the dumps, and try and do something and turn it around and try and bring that Popovich mentality, that Spurs mentality to a team like that. But I think if it happens too soon for her, the tutelage may not get there quick enough. It may not be there. That Spurs mentality, that Popovich mentality that I think that she can get a hold of to mix with what she's already got, I think that would be something that could help her out. But I think it would be too soon, like a 2 years, if she goes to a Philly. I just think it would be too soon. And then, yes, the female thing, the not being able to rally the troops, not being able to, when you're down, get emotional. I know it would be weird to say a female not getting emotional, but to get emotional enough in a masculine sport full of testosterone, to bring them up to play at a better level. I think those would be the rumblings, and we could see her leave early in the middle of a season if things don't go right for a team like that quick, or maybe even after just 1 year.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on if she is not able to guide a team that's struggling, let's say if she doesn't go to the Spurs and all of the rumors and conversation loom if she's not successful fresh out of the gate, because this is a harsh reality world, if you know what I mean.
You mean will people say things like she doesn't have the balls to coach men? Yeah, they'll say that.
Basically.
I'm just going to say it. All of that nonsense, all of the – listen, let's be honest here. When it comes to sports, no matter how much progress has been made, women athletes, women coaches are still viewed as less than. They still are. They're viewed as less than by the male society in this country. That's just a fact. So if she went to, say, one of those teams, and would they be hiring her as a gimmick? They absolutely would. I would hope she wouldn't go to take that. But you know what? There's only 30 of those jobs in the world. So if you get offered one, you kind of got to say yes. And if she struggles because the team is terrible, will they bring up the fact that, oh, you know, she can't go in the locker room and grab them up like Popovich is putting his hands on people? But those are all the things that will be said. Absolutely. Those things will be said. Absolutely, they'll be said. She's, well, you know, you can't expect and it'll all be nonsense, but it'll be a way to discredit female coaches as a whole. If that's done, then my opinion would be that it would be a calculated act so that they could then go say another 10 or 20 years before they hire another female coach. Because if she fails, not because she's not, you know, I mean, listen, some coaches, they get there, the teams are terrible. They get fired because guess what? The team is bad and it didn't get better with you. We've seen it happen. Okay. When Chuck Daly came back to the Pistons, there was a time when Chuck Daly was on the Pistons stopped playing well. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't win all the time when he was there. Did that suddenly make him a bad coach? No. So, but would they hold that against her? Oh, she's a woman? Yes, they would. And that's the part of it that really bothers me, is because that's the flip side of that coin. And it's not fair, but it is a reality. It may not be fair, but it's a reality.
Okay. Becky Hammon, I do wish you the best, because anybody that has aspirations and dreams, man, should be able to go out there and do what they need to do. But I don't want you to go hold down the Spurs, because they're a rival of mine. I just don't like the rival. I want the Spurs to suffer. But that's just me speaking personally. It has nothing to do with you, what you're able to bring to a team. I feel like if you have the IQ to get these guys to make the right play and score buckets, they shouldn't be able to stop you. They shouldn't be able to stop you. Okay, Nacho, we have an interesting end of the month coming up in the boxing world. I know you have a couple of dishes that we should throw around the kitchen. What do we have on slate at the round table?
Well, you know, there's the one big dish, and I want to bring that up. It happens on August 1st. It's a fighter I believe you know very well, moving up from 140 to 147. His name is Danny Swift Garcia. He's taking on a guy who... and Pauly Malginali, I hope I said that correctly, and a guy who pretty much is a testing, in my opinion, is a testing block for this weight class, for Danny Garcia. They fight on August 1st. It's going to be an exciting bout. I'm definitely ready to see it, even though some people may think it's an easy bout for Garcia. I think this is what I already said. It will be a test. It'll be something that he's never faced in 147. And I believe Pauly is the best test for this weight class. He's faced the best, and he's given them almost all a good challenge. Now, he may not have beaten them all. He may not have won decisively, but he's given the best in this weight class a little something to go for. So I see this as a good fight. I definitely, I'll do my prediction right now. I don't feel like waiting. I do think this is Danny Swift's fight to lose. I know he's had some questionable victories in the past few months, maybe year. It goes to show that he's been able to take fights lightly. And I think looking back on most of those fights, I do believe he's won all the fights that he's fought in. So I am not... one of the naysayers that is against Danny right now that thinks he shouldn't move up to 147. I think this is the perfect test for him. I think he passes this test with flying colors. We see a unanimous decision by Danny Swift. I don't think he, not that he doesn't have the power, I just don't think he'll be able to knock out Pauly. Pauly's for all the commentating and being out of the ring, he's still a very, very good boxer. He's, you know, one of the best anymore. But it's definitely going to be a good test for Danny, and I'm excited for it.
What I'm concerned about is people are actually painting the picture that this is the fight that Paulie can win. And Paulie's actually not had the best closeouts in his past couple of fights. I mean, the Porter fight, the Broner fight have been the last couple of fights that he's had, and he's lost.
Mm-hmm.
But Paulie's in a situation where he can score in this fight, and if Danny's not landing that haymaker, it's going to be a tough road to follow. I mean, Danny's last fight didn't look too great up against Peterson also. So this is going to be uncharted water for a quick and elusive boxer that is trying to stay away from the haymakers, because I think that was the situation where Paulie was actually losing a lot of points, was that he was getting nailed by some big shots from both Broner and Porter. So I know that this is something that he's going to have to defensively train on, is to stay away from the big shot. And if so, this is where I've actually spoken to some people that actually watch the sport of boxing and think Paulie can actually upset Garcia in his first loss. Chandler, your thoughts on the guy from Brooklyn being Paulie probably coming up with a big win up against Danny Swift Garcia, now knowing how Swift is unbeaten also in this point of his career, and he's young at that and trying to make a name for himself. Likes fighting in the Barclays, likes fighting in front of Brooklyn. Do the people of Brooklyn inspire the guy Paulie, the hometown hero, to actually come up with a big win up against Danny Garcia?
First of all, I don't know who the hell Danny Garcia is. Let me start there. I know Nacho loves boxing, but I don't think anybody cares. Paulie's like 800 years old at this point. And it's something that no one's heard of. So, you know, I'm sorry. I just can't get excited about one dude I never heard of and one dude who probably shouldn't be boxing anymore. I just can't get excited about that. But just since he's from Brooklyn, I'm saying Paulie's going to win. I like him when it started out. You asked me, he's from Brooklyn, so I'm going to support him. I said he's going to win. But the reality is, he probably shouldn't even be fighting. So I don't know how much this kid beating him, if the kid does. I don't really see how much that's going to benefit him, because Paulie, you know, it's not like he's a contender anymore. He's not even a pretender to the throne. He's just a body now.
Right. Okay, well, we do have somebody here at the round table calling in from the 404 area code. Welcome to the round table. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Ty, it's Matt. The only twins you're going to be playing with tonight are going to be on a woman.
The what?
The only twins you're going to be playing with are going to be on a woman tonight, because they're not going to win.
Really, okay, Matt? Really? That's what you called to say? That's what you called to say, man? Really?
Well, that's just a starter.
It's disgusting, dude. Don't do that.
Oh, lighten up, Chandler. Come on, that wasn't that bad.
It's disrespectful, man. Don't do that. We have female listeners and viewers and fans. That's disrespectful.
All right. Well, I'm sorry if I offended you.
Okay, so knowing that Matt jumped off on the wrong foot, and I wasn't going to lead into it like that. Well, I said I wasn't going to close out specifically, so we are nearing the end of the show, too. Chandler is my enemy tonight, people. If you don't know why, the home team of where I live at and the home team where he's from is going up against the home team of the team that I like. Put it together. But the Yankees are visiting the Twins in Minnesota and the Twin Cities, and me and Chandler already got into it in the green room on seeing how this game may end up going down. And, of course, all day long, me and Matt have been going at it, and, of course, he came in here with some joke that thought he would work, but only in Georgia. Georgia? Georgia? No, I ain't going to rate Charlie. Rest in peace, Ray. But it's interesting matchup tonight. We got Pineda up against Phillip Hughes. I want to see how you feel about this one. Matt, I'll let you start first. Since you want to come in here with a joke that didn't work, you get the womp, womp, womp. But your thoughts on the matchup tonight?
I think the Yankees are a lock, partly because the Twins have a tough time winning two in a row. And I think A-Rod might go deep again. He's on fire. Pinata's pitching good. Phil Hughes, you never know what you're going to get with him. I think he's unpredictable. I think he might get served early and give up three or four by the fifth inning.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this game? I basically got somebody being biased because he doesn't like the Twins. And you want to know why he doesn't like the Twins, Chandler? You want to really know why he doesn't like the Twins? I want you to think back 24 years ago, what happened in the World Series is what happened. That's all. He's still bitter. I don't know why he's still mad at me. Like, sheesh, I didn't even know him then. I didn't even know him then, but he's still bitter about what happened 24 years ago. But, Chandler, your thoughts on the matchup tonight? Your team visiting my team.
I don't need to be mad at Charlie Liebrandt, not the Twins, but that's a whole different conversation, you know, because everybody and their mother knew he was going to throw that changeup and he's been hanging it all game, but hey, you know, whatever.
Right.
I don't know how the series is going to go. I know Sano has I think he twisted an ankle the other day. I don't know if he's going to play. The kid Buxton has started to cool off. Some of their younger players are kind of starting to hit the wall. They need to make a trade. They do. They need to make a trade for a veteran bat and a veteran pitcher that has won. Not just a veteran pitcher, a pitcher who's won and a bat that has won to kind of help navigate them, because you got to remember, you got a rookie manager as well. And I know Paul Molitor played in one, but he hasn't managed in one. So the Twins are doing well, actually. They're doing far better than anybody ever thought they would be doing. You know, they just coming off of a four-game losing streak. They won their last game. Phil Hughes has done okay. To be considered the ace of a staff, I'm sorry, Phil Hughes is not an ace of a staff, and that's why I think that the Twins need to make a trade to bring in somebody who really can, you know, be the frontline guy in that rotation, because it's not Phil Hughes. And it's not Santana, to be quite honest with you. He's not a number one guy either. But I'm not sure how this series is going to go. Target Field is one of the hardest parks to hit home runs in. Only 93 have been hit at that stadium all season. So it's going to have to be, you know, a little bit of small ball, and we'll see what happens. I'm not a fan of Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes has always given up too many home runs for me. I thought that the Yankees should have traded him and kept Ian Kennedy. That's just me. I still hate Brian Cashman for that. I think the Yankees will win, but I would not be surprised if the Twins take one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Twins take two or three in this series.
I hope we get it on. I hope we get it on. I got to. Just put it out here. I don't care. I got to talk junk to him. But we were talking junk in the green room. I got to, man. But I told you I would close out something special. I really feel that they got it. I don't know how Hughes could do it. It's going to bother me if Hughes don't stay away from A-Rod. He can't throw that meatball across the plate. If he does, A-Rod is actually found his swagger. And the one guy that's actually been, I don't want to say under the radar, but he's not getting mentioned as heavy as he should, and that's been Teixeira. Teixeira's actually been having a decent season this year. You got to stay away from both of them and try to keep these guys on the ground. Make sure that they don't get any lift to some of these pitches, because if they do, there's potential to get these out of the park. So hopefully, Phil knows these guys. He knows this lineup. Should be accustomed to the majority of these guys. Don't leave stuff hanging over the plate. And I think Minnesota should be successful at home. And they've been on the road for quite a bit and taking their lumps up against some of these teams on the road. I think they get back in front of the people out there at Target Field and get one for their boy Timers. I don't care what Matt coming in here preaching. And I know Chandler up here talking that Yankee stuff too, but hey, I got to. We were talking about it before the show, so I got to get it in there. Well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs to close out, so each and every one of you, including the Braves fan that want to come in here and crack jokes. Oh, and by the way, I was told to say this for City, so I got to. Thank you to the people that are a part of or people that know the Parker Hannah fan situation. So thank you for checking us out, listening in, because I was told that I had to shout y'all out. So thank you for people that have been checking out Sports City. That's for sure. From a chef here told me that I had to say something. So y'all keep that rotating in the kitchen. Tell a friend. So Matt, I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut down the round table tonight?
I know I got to Chandler. I'm going to make an assumption. He probably is not a fan of Eazy-E or the Ghetto Boys because they always be cracking up on the broads. But anyway, I hope you all have a good weekend. Enjoy the games tonight. Go Braves, and I guess go Yankees just for the night.
What do you know about Eazy-E? Tell me.
I know all about him, Ty. I listen to the Pandora station all the time.
Where is he from?
He's Compton, California.
Did you Google that?
No, I didn't Google it. I'm in my car. Anyway, I'm going to let Chandler finish up and the other guys finish up. I got to go.
Okay, I'm making sure. What was he famous for? What song?
He was famous for a lot of songs. He's got a movie coming out on the 14th of August. I got to go, man. I got to go watch the Twins lose and the Braves hopefully win.
See, I got to. See, that's how you do a joke. That's how you do a joke, man. And look, you run from them. See, that's what I'm talking about, man. This is what I'm talking about. A Cleveland Brown fan, people, or Atlanta Falcon fan, people, or you get the pitch. You get the pitch. I could pick on him all night. All right. Nacho, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut down the roundtable tonight.
You know, at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I don't know much about baseball like you aficionados do. I'm still learning. The little I do know was Arizona Diamondbacks 4-1 NLCS win over the Atlanta Braves, and then a Luis Gonzalez blooper on quite possibly the best closer that's ever graced the mound, Mariano Rivera and the Yankees. That's all I know about baseball. And I'm trying to get back into it. I know my team is probably one of the worst in the MLB right now. When I did start watching them about a week ago, two weeks ago again, they were on like a 6 or 7 game losing streak. So right now, I don't know what my team needs. I hope Chandler can one day we'll get to talking about it. But like I said, I don't know too much. Just a blooper and a demolishing Atlanta Braves victory in the NLCS. Other than that, football season is coming up. I'm very excited about that. We could talk about the Falcons and how they let us win, or we beat them 42 points, I think, in the, what was it, the divisional playoffs. But we'll leave that to the past. Again, nothing against Atlanta. They just suck. Anyway, you guys have a great night. What?
Go ahead, Nacho. Do what you got to do. I don't know what that.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought that was you, Ty. I'm sorry. Yeah. Y'all have a good night. Thank you guys so much. Y'all are awesome. The two that I started the conversation with, the one that came in with the rude joke, you're cool sometimes, Matt, but come on, man. You got to step up your game a little bit. Y'all have a great night. Y'all are awesome. Thank you.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. See, I got chefs, man. I'm telling you, they're cooked. They cooked, man. Chandler, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the round table.
Well, Arizona needs to build up their farm system. It's going to take a while for the Diamondbacks. They made a bad hire in Kirk Gibson. He actually ruined a lot of their young players because he really wasn't a good manager for a young team. And the general manager was a moron. And it kind of, they depleted their farm system. So for the Diamondback fans, give the team a couple of years, and I think they'll be good again, especially because the National League West really isn't that strong. So it won't be difficult for them to get back on top. It's just a matter of if the ownership is willing to trust this new management group. Eazy-E is actually from Ohio, and then they moved to California, so he's not from Compton. That's why Bone Thugs Harmony was such big Eazy-E guys. But hey, I don't know nothing about that. I got some idiot telling me what I got somebody telling me what I know about music. Are you kidding me? Anyway, man, don't come for me. Don't come for me with weak. Don't come for me with weak. And once again, on behalf of the chefs, that is not. We don't condone that type of nonsense. And we're not going to condone it. Everybody's going to be respected in here. And you know, we can talk or listen to whatever we want to listen to when we're off the air. But when we're on the air, we're going to conduct ourselves like men. So Other than that, man, Nacho, thanks a lot for coming. Todd, thanks for coming. And y'all have a good weekend.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. A lot going on this weekend. I try to tell Nacho to do something early. I don't know, but I'm going to have to get Nacho here Sunday, definitely for the budget. You'll hear Chandler here, so the three of us will be back at it. The three amigos. I love Spanish food, but I can't speak too much Spanish, and I know Nacho Spanish, so I'm going to have to learn a little stuff with my little brother. That's for sure.
I'm sorry. We have to talk about this Dominican thing with Colin Cowherd. We totally forgot that, and I meant to bring it up, and Matt just threw me off with the nonsense. But we will address that this weekend, people.
Good.
Right, and I want more to come from it. Even though I'm not even gonna lie, Sports City, I don't even like to call the network out. And I'm home here in Connecticut. I am home, and they consider this home too. But it was something about Colin Cowherd that I really don't like. I just don't like the way he addresses certain issues up there. And I still am, and I'm biased because I'm a fan of the guy and the team. I'm still a little bitter about how he approached the Sean Taylor situation. So I don't really respect Colin Cowherd, but I'll listen to some of the stuff that he says. But we'll discuss it. I want to hear more about what's going on. But everything is getting racially divided, all this racial tension, man. People, relax, man. Relax, man. We got to live life, man. I'd rather God decide things out than the way things are going, man. The way things are going. Somebody got to be strong enough to divide this stuff up or get us together. Forget divide. To get us together. I said the wrong word. To get us together, man. We got to do this better, man. But Colin Cowherd, I can't believe you. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, interviews, the blog, the chef. Be back here Sunday morning brunching this thing up with these two guys that you just heard me with. We're going to come on down here. Come and get a dish, man. I love the download numbers. It's been tremendous. Thank you to everybody that's been checking us out, the people that have been supporting Chandler. And I just heard, you know what I'm saying, that, okay, Matt threw out Eazy-E, right? Chandler told me Chuck D is on the plow. So Public Enemy, y'all know what time it is. Flavor Flav, Chuck D. Come and check us out at Sports City, man. I love it, man. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I pick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, bad gun, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Q-Auto, Mattos, used to call me Fatso. Now you call me Castro, my rap flows. Militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, homes. You in the danger zone, you shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic. Try to make dough, like Jurassic. Hawk in, pick the spark kids who start shit. Only me, the underboss of this holocaust, truly yours, right,
I got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my
math on. Break it down, split it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never lose the passion to go platinum. Said I live it up to all the cash on. Ain't that funny? Only use plastic, craft it to make plastic. Hotter than acid, PD. Blowing on your tape of CD. The billboard killer, no scene killer. The famo, ammo, is every channel. We've been hot for a long time, burning like a candle. What you can do is check your distribution. My tone bump is Houston, like Starbucks producer. You ain't got it like me, you just mad. Cause I tell it how it is, and you tell it how it might be.
We got this shit mapped tight, brass knuckles and flashlights. The heaters in the two seaters with two meters. Then you retard, kiss rings when you meet us. B Diddy run the city, show no pity. I'm the witty one, Frank the crook from the brook. Maddie broke the neck of your coat to neck. No respect, squeeze off to all y'all diminished. Shootouts for 20 minutes until we finish. Then it's to the loot, escape in the coupe, break bread with the kiss. Panero, chic loose, Black Rob join the mob. It ain't no replacing him, niggas step up. We just macing them, placing them in funerals. Criminals turn the vows to Brick City. Nobody come off like P. Diddy. Business wise, I play men. Hide money on the island, Cayman. Y'all just betray men. We spray men. Opposition, competition of a day in the life of the commission. Commission.
We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. Where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real life shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real life shit.
What y'all niggas wanna do?